You're listening to Artitude, a podcast with artists created and produced by Detlef Schlick, a visual artist and ritual designer, living and loving in West Cork, and best known for his essay about the cause and effect of shamanism, art and digital culture. Working in the field of performance, photography, painting, sound, installations, and film, he will dive and discover with us and a weekly creative guest into the unknown and exciting deep ocean of the creative mind.
This is Detlef Schlichfeld. Today we dive into the deep and unknown, creative and exciting ocean of our mind. Especially our creative minds. I'm your host and welcome you to a special edition of Artitude, where curiosity meets our exploration of the intersections of art, culture, and science. Today, we're diving into a Q&A session. Q&A is the short form for question and answer, and we're reflecting on our recent journey from the alchemical past to the digital renaissance of creativity. The last three episodes, I researched a lot about that, and we've traversed the landscape of art's evolution, witnesses the fusion of traditional mediums with digital innovation, and contemplated the future of artistic expression in the age of artificial intelligence. So you've sent in your questions, and it's time to explore these threads together, unraveling the tapestry of human curiosity and innovation. Yeah, so I would say, first of all, thank you as well for your interest, and all the listeners all over the world, from England, London, Germany, Argentina, China, Japan, Ireland, you name it. It's really without, I probably wouldn't do that, you know. So for me, it is really crucial to stay interactively in contact with you. And that's the reason why I'm going to do such Q&A sessions as well. Because this is a medium where you still can stay interactively in discourse somehow, you know. So before I start, I would say as well, so you can direct message me. You can write me a mail to info@detlefschlich.com or just message me on Facebook or Instagram. Instagram is at detlefschlich, at Artitude, and at I Love West Cork Artists. And on Facebook, you can join our I Love West Cork Artists group and become an active member of a discussion. Yeah, that's what I can invite you. And like I say, thank you again for your questions. So yeah, let's get started. I start actually with Elena from London, from the UK. So she asked, in episode 220, you discussed the historical impact of the Polaroid camera. How do you see instant photography influencing today's digital image sharing culture? That's great. I mean, I would say instant photography like the Polaroid democratized photography and in general and introduced the joy of instant sharing and gratification already. So today, digital image sharing amplifies this by enabling instantaneous global sharing, fundamentally changing our relationship with photographs from mementos to communication tools. So if it's for the good or for the evil, you have to decide by yourself. Yeah, I hope I helped you a little bit with this thoughts, Elena, and thank you for your question. There's Marco from Regensburg, from Germany. We have actually, Julia Melzer is as well from Regensburg. She's have her in my next episode. She is a punk rock singer and she's speaking about the her time in England. So, yeah, Marco is asking, regarding episode 221's exploration of language's role in globalization, how do you think digital platforms are reshaping linguistic diversity? Well, Marco, digital platforms are indeed reshaping linguistic diversity, both preserving and endangering languages, for sure. They offer unprecedented opportunities for language learning and cultural exchange, but can also contribute to the dominance of major languages, potentially overshadowing others. Like, for instance, take the Irish language. I mean, the Irish, they speak mostly English, and the Irish language, which is a very beautiful language, disappears. But that has, I would say, nothing to do with the internet in general. This is actually an interesting subject where I should research sometimes again and make maybe a podcast or a song out of it, you know, with my new band project with Dirk Schlömer together. We're already thinking about that, to make an album about the Irish culture and history. So yeah, thank you, Marco, for your question. Julian from Manchester in England asked me, the story of Elna and Aura in episode 222 was captivating. Do you believe AI will ever fully replicate the emotional death of human-created art? Yeah, thank you, Julian, for this very deep question. I don't know. While AI can replicate forms and patterns found in art and may evoke emotional responses, the depth of human emotion stems from lived experiences, I would say, and especially consciousness. So if you speak about AI, AI's creativity is guided by algorithms and data, and that is already lacking the personal intuition and emotional depth. So I would say it will be, they can't replicate emotional depth, but they can create something completely new, or where we never had thought about, and this is interesting as well. So I try to get inspired from artificial, from AI art, and find a way to address myself as person in space and time and as artist. And for instance, if you look for ChatGPT, or if you look for artificial intelligence in general, how you see how they how it function, you understand as well how your brain is functioning, you know. So thank you anyway, Julian. So Liam from Dublin, from Ireland, asked, with digital art becoming more prevalent, as discussed in episode 222, what do you think are the biggest challenges traditional artists face today? Yeah, Liam. I mean, traditional artists face the challenge of staying relevant in a rapidly digitizing world, I would say. Embracing digital tools without losing their essence and finding ways to integrate traditional skills into digital platforms are probably key to navigate this landscape. And it is not easy, I know. I mean, a lot of people struggle and they feel betrayed by intellectual property and all that. But yeah, I think AI is there to stay, and it won't leave anymore. So it actually just makes sense if you try to deal with it somehow. You don't have to, actually. I mean, you can stay on your paintings, on your oil paintings or acrylic paintings, and improve your skill in that way, which is fair enough, you know. And there are a lot of places where you can express this. So yeah. So stay traditional artist if you want to do that. There's no harm, I would say. I hope it helped you a little bit. And I would encourage you as well to stay at this, but don't condemn people who are gonna go further and gonna embrace as well the digital landscapes, you know. So thanks, Liam. Sophie from Paris, France asks, can you expand on how digital consciousness might affect our perception of reality, as hinted at in episode 222. Thanks, Rafi. Great question. I mean, I would say digital consciousness could alter our perception of reality by blurring the lines between virtual and physical worlds. This shift challenges us to consider the authenticity of our experiences and the value we assign to digital versus physical interactions. I mean, take for instance as well the virtual reality glasses. If you wear them and if you see nature, it's already proved somehow it is a relief for people who doesn't have really access to nature. If you live in a huge city, for instance, or at a park is quite far, and you wear virtual reality glasses for 5 minutes, you really feel better after that, which is amazing, you know. So Raji from Mumbai, from India, asked, in episode 221, you touched on the ethics of AI and art. How should we navigate the moral implications of AI's creative contributions? Yeah. Raji, thanks for your questions. Navigating the moral implications of AI and art involves ensuring transparency, respecting copyrights and originality, and considering the ethical use of AI-generated content. So it's about finding a balance between innovation and integrity, probably. Thanks for your question, Raji. We go to China. It's Chen from Beijing. Hi, Chen. You ask me, do you think the digital renaissance of art will make art more accessible or create a new divide? Another deep question. I mean, I would say the digital renaissance has the potential to make art more accessible through digital galleries and virtual reality experiences. However, it also poses a risk of deepening the digital divide for those without access to technology. So this is our ways, the dark side of the moon, that people who are completely technophobic, they don't have access, you know. So, but at least, and when I hope that will stay just still for a long time, they can go to galleries if they do. But then if not, they probably maybe not interested in art. I mean, you have that in society as well, don't you? Thanks, Chen, anyway, you know. Anna from New York, from America, asked, how has the audience's role in art changed with the advent of interactive and digital artworks discussed in recent episodes? Thanks, Anna. Interactive and digital artworks transform audiences from passive observers to active participants, creating a more immersive and personal experience with art. So this shift redefines the artist's audience relationship, I would say, and emphasizing engagement and interaction. So like I do, for instance, with my podcast, I mean, this is as well, it's based actually on radio. And Walter Benjamin already did as critical thinker as well a lot of radio shows. And yeah, he's quite a role model for me, and I love it now already. I mean, I am in episode 223, I think, and it is amazing what I've learned in this time, you know, and with how many people I came together and all that. I couldn't have that without digital interactivity. This redefines absolutely the artist-audience relationship, and this is a living example, isn't it? So yeah, I'm happy, and I really appreciate it. So thank you very much, Anna, for your question, and all the best to New York. Diego from Buenos Aires, from Argentina, he's asking, considering the discussions in episode 222, where do you see the intersection of technology and nature in future art? Ooh, I mean, this is a good question, especially, I think, people from Ballydob like it very much, because a lot of them, they still try to stay off grid, and they're really looking very much after biodiversity and all these things which are crucial. And the future of art, Diego, could see technology and nature converging in bio art, eco-friendly digital installations and projects that utilize technology to address environmental issues, showcasing the symbiotic relationship between technology, or between technological advancement and natural preservation. Is that what I would say about this? And what I could imagine that an installation like this would take place in Ballydob, if I would do that sometimes, I don't know, maybe. So yeah, it's very inspiring. Thank you for this question, Diego. So, and I hope you agree with the way I pronounce Calculo. My friend Pastora, she's from Concordia, and she explained me, I have to pronounce Calculo, which means calculation, calculieren, calculation, actually. And she said, you're not supposed to say culo. All right. So Olivia from Sydney, Australia asks, what impact do you think digital platforms have on the preservation of cultural heritage and traditional art forms? So, dear Olivia, digital platforms offer innovative ways to preserve cultural heritage through virtual museums and online archives, for instance. So they making it accessible worldwide. I mean, however, they also require a concerted effort to ensure that digital representations respect and accurately convey the essence of traditional art forms. Well, this is the again another side you have to look into it if you create art like this. Nadia from Cairo, from Egypt, asked, what advice would you give to artists who are skeptical about embracing digital tools and AI in their creative process? And yeah, thank you, Nadia, for this question. I think I had somehow a similar one before. I would say, really, for artists skeptical about digital tools, I'd advise starting small, experimenting with digital elements in their work, and remaining open to the possibilities. Digital tools can enhance their creative process, offering new ways to express traditional themes as well. And here again, I have to mention, if you don't want it, don't use it, and stay to your traditional art. Fair enough. I mean, nobody can force you to use digital tools. An old paintbrush is as well a great tool, actually, to achieve that what you would like to achieve. Yeah, mark making, lovely. Igor from Moscow, he asks, do you see a future where digital art exhibitions become the norm, overshadowing physical galleries? I already mentioned, while digital art exhibitions are becoming more popular, they're probably unlikely to overshadow physical galleries entirely. Both formats offer unique experiences, and the future will likely see a hybrid approach where digital and physical spaces complement each other, probably. So, yeah. Finn from Helsinki, from Finland, asked, how do you envision the future of collaborative art projects between humans and AI? Finn, very difficult to predict. I mean, I did it already in my last episodes with my story. So the future of collaborative art projects between human and AI could involve more intuitive interfaces for artist-AI interaction, projects that tackle complex social issues and explorations into new forms of art that challenge our perception of creativity. I mean, I already plan a performance with an AI robot, and I'm looking for collaborators. I mean, I already have a name for it, and I'm looking for grants, but I still need a collaboration from Apple, Google, or whoever would say, yeah, we support you for 7 days with a robot, you know? I mean, I already wrote a business plan and everything. and anything else I would share them with those collaborators in an email. You know, I mean, I'm not going to go too deep into the subject here now because, it's still a secret.
Like what you hear so far? Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Now back to the show.
All right. Oh, I told already too much. Oh, my God. So, okay. Mia from Cape Town, from South Africa, asks, reflecting on the themes of episode 220 to 222, what's the one thing you hope listeners take away regarding the evolution of art in the digital age? Hello, Mia. I hope listeners take away an appreciation for the evolving landscapes of art in the digital age, recognizing both the challenges and opportunities it presents. Embracing this evolution can lead to a richer understanding and expression of human creativity. And I mean, I try to take as well the prejudice away, you know. I mean, sometimes the discussions nowadays regarding AI, they remind me from times where people are for or against slavery, you know. And my prediction is already that the times will come where we will have artificial intelligent partners in real life. I mean, not yet, maybe in 10, maybe in 20, maybe in 30 years. And the discussions and the questions about AI and slavery will have a renaissance as well. So I hope that I can open my listeners' minds somehow with this, and as well with questioning morally and ethic philosophical questions about these relationships or just the tendencies, you know. Anyway, thank you very much for your question, Mia. The last question for today comes from Lucas from Sao Paulo, from Brazil. He asks, how can educators integrate the concepts from episodes 220 to 222 into teaching art and technology to the next generation? So, Lucas, thank you for this question. I would say educators can integrate these concepts by encouraging students to experiment with both traditional and digital mediums, fostering an understanding of how technology influences art and vice versa, and emphasizing critical thinking about the role of art in society. Like I already mentioned to Mia, it is, we come into very, very vast, into a time of, we're already, science fiction is already there. And with tools like ChatGPT, for instance, we come closer to, I say, real discussions between human and artificial intelligence. I mean, I try to understand that in order to look into the algorithms which are necessary to create the discussions between human and AI, or whatever you want to know, to name it. I mean, I must say, it's still often you have to research, because you can't prove it, you can't rely to it. You still have to research after an answer from artificial intelligence. So, but you have to do that as well if a real person is saying something to you, isn't it? Okay. Thank you, Lucas, for this question. I mean, for me, it's great to research in these questions and philosophizing about it, because I love a good discussion on culture and innovation. And if there's something in episodes for you, the conversation doesn't end here. We want to hear from you. So share your reactions, questions, or insights on our page, or join the discussion group, which is linked on Facebook, and I already mentioned it to you, at that Schlich, at Artitune, at Isle of Westcock Artists on Instagram. So yeah, or the Isle of Westcock Artists group on Facebook. Yeah. Don't forget to like, share, and invite friends to the Artitude community, where every voice contributes to the richness of our exploration. I would say on this note, dear guys, don't forget the future is a podcast away. Stay creative, have a great lovely week, and I hope to hear from you in direct messages or just listen, and have a good time. Take care. Bye bye. You're dead left.
You have listened to Artitude, West Cork's first art, fashion, and design podcast. Artitude, never so close again. Ah! That was too close.